cast your snap judgments. Brian Cook arrives at Carlton. Very Elegant's the best horse in the country. That's 9 Group 1 wins. It feels like we need a crowd desperately at Melbourne Cup Day. We need it for the well-being of our town. That roadmap gives the possibility of people at Flemington on Cup Day. That feels very important to me this morning. Snap judgments, 1-300-736-736 before Ollie Wines and David King with the grand final set up on the Monday means test. Errol's in Aspendale. Errol, how are the nerves?
It's going to be a long, nervous week, Jared.
Yes, I bet it is.
A couple of things. First, congratulations to Ollie Wines. But the second thing, I'm on about the grand final. I've always felt sad that the losing team remains on the ground for the entire presentation. I think it's time to change the format. So, Jared, could you give Gill a quick ring and suggest that this is what's now to happen? At the start of proceedings, the MC announces the presentation for the Norm Smith. It's awarded by whoever, and then Jackson McRae rejoins his teammates. The MC then calls both captains to the mic, and they each make a gracious speech. Then the MCG calls on the crowd to acknowledge the runner-up team in the competition as that play, those players, they depart in a squad. And then we follow with the usual premiership medals and the cup as usual. Because, look, previously, the losing players, they're sprawled on the ground. They look like some World War One battlefield, watching the other team receive their medals, adding salt to their wounds. And then they just sort of slink off the ground in twos and threes. For heaven's sake, they're the best team in the competition. They deserve some recognition, applause from the crowd at least. What do you think?
Errol, I love the way that you've given that such thought and articulated it so well. It's grim, isn't it? It's grim when the runners-up sit there, but they do it to honour the battle and to honour the victor. Errol, I'll clip your thoughts up and I'll pass them on.
Thank you, Jared.
Enjoy the week. Enjoy the week. Big Dogs fan. Yes, Geraldo, nerves kicked in this week. Go the Mighty D's. Jono's in St Kilda. Hello to you, Jono.
Jared, good to be with you. I just, I don't mind a punt, and I know you don't either, but I just thought last night's coverage of the Brownlow medal was just completely saturated with sports bet ads, Ladbrokes ads. I just think, you know, if you're sitting with there with a young family, I don't know if you were sitting there with your young family, but I just thought that was just completely over the top. You know, the sports bet ad was followed by a Wiggles ad. Like, that's, you know what I mean? It's just, my partner couldn't believe it. Like, we were just sitting there watching it and we were just stunned by how many gambling ads there were last night.
Jono, it did. It felt like the coverage of a race meeting where the odds and the gambling aspect is stitched into the actual coverage. Now, I'm as guilty of it as anyone, Jono, because we've been having great mirth around multis and the like as a way to sort of be pitched into the Brownlow. But it was, is you're right, it was very frontal last night. And that the formula was almost, if you'd watched the races on Saturday, the formula was almost the same. Is you weave the sports bet update or whatever it is in with the coverage ahead of the race and track it with the live odds along the way. So it felt like a further progression down a track. I don't excuse myself one ounce from that, Jono, but it was there because we were all sitting around as a family watching it as well last night. Tony's in queue. Welcome to you, Tony.
Thanks, Jared. I'd just like to make a comment about the Spring Carnival, and you mentioned how wonderful it would be to have crowds attending again. And a couple of things in terms of crowds coming back to the races. I'm just wondering what your thoughts are in terms of how you see it rolling out and what the obligations will be of the clubs and the patrons who go along in terms of vaccination. That's point number one. And point number two, getting back to the Jamie Carr situation in terms of the additional penalty that she has been imposed. I don't think she can ride again until about the end of February. And given the fact that we're talking about crowds coming back, do you think the penalty for Jamie Carr or the extra penalty was warranted, because it seems to have created a raging debate as to the fairness of it or not. Yeah. I'd appreciate your thoughts, Jared.
I was absolutely shocked by it, Tony. I will say on Friday, the additional 2 months for lying to the stewards, as that's what she's been found guilty of, and I know she's going to take that to the Supreme Court to challenge. I'm not surprised by that. So I felt like the 3 month suspension for all involved initially was precisely right. I thought that balanced things rather perfectly, but I was shocked by the additional 2 months and how that plays out from here. As for crowd, so I think Melbourne Cup Day is the earliest possible. There needs to be a plan. It feels critical to the life of this town that there are people at Flemington on Melbourne Cup Day, given the roadmap that was identified yesterday. And how that's done, that's a really interesting proposition in its own right. I imagine we're going to start with fully vaccinated crowds the way that it was described yesterday by the Premier. It felt like every step was as long as you're fully vaccinated. So I imagine that was going to be the starting point. Taking cool snap judgments, Ollie Wines, David King's arrived. I feel like almost the most important thing that happened on the weekend, the appointment of Brian Cook as chief executive at Carlton is momentous. What he knows about culture and leadership is precisely what the Blues need. So after the hideous manner of recent sackings, it's time to heal, to unite, and to find clarity of purpose. The club will benefit enormously from Cook's touch. In fact, I struggle to think of anyone better for the very specific part of the task that seems so raw at Carlton. He is one of the country's finest sports administrators. He's led West Coast to 2 premierships and Geelong to 3. And if he secures Alistair Clarkson, I truly think he'll add a premiership at a third club in the 3 years that he's committed to. Now, whether he lands Clarkson or not, Cook knows how to choose a coach, and he knows it to be the most important decision a club makes. He'll step in and finish that process, regardless of what's been done so far, and Carlton will benefit enormously from it. It's the best decision that the Blues have made in many a year. Let's see how it pans out with Brian Cook at Carlton. I couldn't be more optimistic on that front. Daniel's in Pasco Vale. Daniel, welcome.
Morning, Jared. Just wanted to say that count was probably one of the best in the recent years. Obviously, the last few years we sort of known a few rounds out who was going to win it, but to go right down to the wire was, for me personally, I was like, oh, this could go either way. It could be a tie. And, one stage, but I just wanted to touch on the, I guess, the younger crop coming through, like Darcy Parrish and Sam Walsh. I mean, the future's bright for those guys, and, you know, they're getting recognition now, and, you know, hopefully from an Essendon point of view, selfishly, hopefully Darcy Parrish can win it next year, but, overall, I think the game's in good hands with guys like that, and, you know, Jack Steele and Tuke Miller,
they're all
up there, and just to finish off, I think you're going to have a very flat Jack Riebold on 360 this week. Like I felt a bit robbed last night.
I'm looking forward to it already, Daniel. He was terrific. Jessica's in Bentley. Welcome to you, Jessica.
Hi, Jared. Sorry if it's a bit noisy in the background. I'm out for my daily exercise with my toddler.
Good stuff.
I just wanted to talk about last night how hard it was for some people to watch the Brownlow, and it's going to be the same with the grand final as well. And I think it's the same as in previous years as well. My snap judgment is the AFL really needs to do something about their streaming rights deal, because from my understanding, Fox has the right to stream the home and away games and the finals games except for the grand final, but Channel 7 has the right to broadcast the Brownlow and the grand final, which means that if you don't have an aerial plugged in TV, it's really hard for you to watch the Brownlow or the grand final. So I've got a lot of friends, and I saw a lot of people online last night suddenly struck with this realization, including myself, that they couldn't actually watch the Brownlow.
Yep. We're getting
a lot of people don't have.
We're getting a few of those messages this morning, Jessica, given the way the modern world is, that there was no streaming coverage of the Brownlow at all, which is, yes, precisely what you're identifying. It's a 7 only event, and it's almost that old world television only event. And I'd got a couple of messages during the count last night asking where you could follow it online. And just the Fox footy was running a good coverage, but that was about all there was. So Jessica, good on you. Enjoy your walk. It's nice to hear your toddler in the background as well.